A big thank you to President Biden from China. Just recently, Joe Biden lifted the tariffs on solar panels from Asian countries that China had been routing its solar components through in order to avoid the tariffs. So as part of his green program, President Biden has lifted the tariffs on China to reward them for their great citizenships in areas such as the COVID-19, intellectual property theft, and other things that China's been doing, especially to reward them for their staunch support in the Ukraine war and in dealing with Russia. That's just one of the things we'll be talking about tonight on World News Brief. Good evening. This is Mike Friedenberg, one of five rotating hosts for World News Brief, and I'm very honored to be one of those hosts. And today we're going to talk about a number of topics. One of them is our great friend China. We're going to also talk about the vaccine craziness, and we're going to talk about the deconstruction of America and Western civilization. But first, let's talk a little bit about those tariffs. Years ago, a study was done, I believe it was by Yale University, and when they looked at how much it costs to make something here in the United States versus here in China. And you may be surprised to learn that solar panels could actually be made significantly cheaper here than in China. When you factor in the cost of materials, the shipping, and everything else, it turned out that we could make the panels cheaper here in the United States. But what happened is China literally just started subsidizing their solar panel industry to the point where they were able to drive all the manufacturing out of the United States and move it over into China. So in order to try to stop this kind of behavior, tariffs were levied on Chinese solar panels. And so what China did to get around that is they started running all their components and parts through some partners in Asian countries such as Malaysia, Thailand, Vietnam, and Cambodia. But that's been typical for China when it comes to trade and manufacturing. They will subsidize their local industry until they drive the foreign competitors out of business. Then they have control over the price and the prices go back up. Now, in terms of the manufacturing side of things, a lot of folks think, well, there's no way you can compete with China because of their cost of labor. That's just not true. It turns out that many manufactured products, the biggest component cost components are the cost of the machines to make them, the space to make them, the materials, and the transportation costs. So actually, labor becomes a relatively small percentage of the cost. So there's many goods and products that could be made here in the United States that are being made in China because they have subsidized them, and there's no incentive for our folks to try to make them here because if they do, for example, an example would be the rare earth elements. We had a gigantic mine here in California, and they modernized it. They put the best equipment in there, and they were able to actually produce least cost. But what China did is they subsidized their rare earth element business in China, and they were able to drive them out of business. That's the typical pattern for China. So the solar panels is just another example. The excuse the Biden administration is giving is that it's cramping their style when it comes to their green agenda, and that, you know, this is just a temporary wave on the tariffs until we bring back the domestic industry. However, we'll have to see. I'm very, very dubious as to whether we're going to see a resurgence of our domestic industry. What I just think we're going to see is our market flooded with cheap panels whose many components are being made in China. So just then one aspect of what China's been doing. The other aspect is stealing intellectual property. The Intellectual Property Commission did a study a number of years back and discovered that China was stealing up to $300 billion worth of intellectual property each and every year. $300 billion, along with the industrial secrets and manufacturing secrets and chemical manufacturing and pharmacy secrets. They actually stole almost all our plans for our F-35 fighter. So that's just an ongoing thing that China's been doing. And then we get to late 2019, early 2020, and we hit the COVID crisis, which China is directly responsible for. Don't believe all the stuff about that it's naturally caused, that it was a migration of the bat from a distant province of China to the wet markets in Wuhan. The most logical, the simplest explanation is that a lab, the Wuhan Virology Institute, which had been cited by our U.S. State Department as having bad safety protocols, that I believe was accidental. They accidentally let a coronavirus bat virus out. Their workers got sick. They were sick a couple months even before 2020. That was recorded. And then they hid this fact for at least 30 days. And in the meantime, while the virus is spreading throughout their country, they had over 400,000 people leave the country and fly into major U.S. cities like San Francisco, New York, Los Angeles. So even as they were shutting down the Wuhan province to prevent the spread in their own country, they were letting it spread into our country. So China is no friend of ours, and doing anything to help them, such as taking tariffs away from them, is no plus. They are definitely definitely do not consider us to be their friend. They consider us to be their number one enemy. They're working actively to undermine us in all spheres. They have people working at our colleges and universities passing out propaganda. So China's not our friend. So I just thought I'd mention the whole business of the panels, because obviously panels are a very important product and we want them, but we should really work to make sure that we're making them here and not be dependent upon China. And speaking of China and COVID-19, let's talk about the COVID-19 shot craziness. On June 17th, the FDA approved the use of the biotech, the Pfizer vaccine for children ages 6 months and older. Now, this is the same vaccine that was developed for the original strain of the Wuhan virus. This is back, you know, this is the virus that was spreading in early 2020. We're now about 10 or 12 variants past that virus, and the vaccine effectiveness is really, really, really almost non-existent. So here we are, we're pumping people full of the mRNA vaccine for almost no effect. Now, the thing is, it is going to produce antibodies. If you pump a foreign body into your system, your immune system is going to react, and it is going to create antibodies. But those antibodies are not effective at fighting the Omicron virus. Right now, I think we're looking at either BA4 or BA5 now. Those are the predominant virus. They're not effective in fighting that. So there is really just no reason to be doing the vaccine anymore. Now, I personally will say that I did get vaccinated. I'm not sure if I would have done it again, but with the best information I had at the time, I made that choice. And I would still say for the very high-risk people back in the time of the Alpha variant and the Delta variant that there could have been a really good case to get vaccinated. But if you're a young, healthy person, 50 and under, for sure, it was not a good decision to make. There was no good reason to be taking that vaccine. And now that we're 7, 8, 9, 10 variants past the strain of the virus the vaccine was designed for, we definitely do not want to be taking that vaccine. And that brings me to one of the most horrible things that happened during this period of time, and this happened throughout the world, is the lack of therapeutics that could be used to treat the COVID-19 virus, as opposed to just pumping out the idea that a vaccine-only strategy. There was a number of therapeutics used throughout the world that were highly, highly effective in reducing mortality rates and reducing infection rates. And in particular, the most effective of these was ivermectin, but also very early use, hydroxychloroquine. The studies out there are legion. These are very effective drugs, and the virus is still going to be out there for what's probably going to be with us forever. I think it's what they would call endemic at this point. It's going to be coming back seasonally. We're going to have different variants on it. So for those who don't want to go the route of the vaccine, for right now, the good news is the latest variants seem to be less dangerous than the Alpha and the Delta variant. But there is some things you can do, and one of the organizations I'm going to recommend that you look up on the internet is the Critical Care, the COVID-19 Critical Care Alliance, and they have published a number of protocols, the IMATH protocol in particular, for prophylactic and early treatment. And this involves nutritional supplements such as vitamin D for sure, and also the drugs, which are very, very safe. For example, ivermectin, which has a better safety history and better safety profile than even, let's say, ibuprofen or Tylenol. And then, of course, the hydroxychloroquine. All these are very effective things you can do, and they have a whole list of medications you can take there on that site. So it's COVID-19 Critical Care Alliance. Look at the IMATH protocol. And I would recommend that you do that. And you can find doctors who will prescribe these medications using telemedicine. And it's always a good idea just to have some around your house. That would be my recommendation there. So that's the little public service announcement there. So switching topics completely, what I want to do is talk about what I describe as the deconstruction of America and Western civilization. Now, this has been a long time coming, and it's been ongoing, and we've seen many, many different phases of it. I don't know if we reached the end game, but it seems like we're getting there. This involves things like the demeaning and the devaluing of American heroes like George Washington or Lincoln, or even some of the more notable people in the South. Yes, they were on the wrong side of the slavery issues, but they actually did have some qualities that were very admirable qualities as well. Tearing down statues. So basically anything that was from the past that was from European or Western civilization is attacked and destroyed. That's part of the deconstruction. The other has been just an attack on the basic identity of what it means to be human. For example, the difference between a man and a woman. There's very clear biological differences between men and women, with some very obvious things in the plumbing area, but even the brains are very much different between men and women. And yet, we've seen over the last 30 years an effort to try to diminish and make these differences seem inconsequential. Well, that's just not true. The nuclear family, which I say that God designed, but even if you want to go the evolutionary route, that there is qualities that men and women bring to that family that are very complementary and are different. One of the areas that one of my pet peeves is just when you watch movies, you think, oh, wow, you got men out there and women out there. And if you were to look at the movies, you'd think, gosh, a 130-pound woman is competitive with a 200-pound guy physically. Well, we know that that's not true in real life. We know in real life that we have a standard in society that we do not tolerate men being physically violent toward women. Yet in the movies, you would think that there was no difference between the two. And one of the areas which I personally disagree with is putting women in combat. There's not one study that says they can be as effective in combat, especially when you talk anything to do with close quarters type combat. Yet we're sticking women in combat situations. I think it's bad because of the idea is that, you know, I was saying, hey, it's okay for men to be physically battling and physically confronting women. I just think it's a very bad idea, and it destroys a very important thing that we want to have in our society, is that men respect women and do not physically engage with them. That's something you just don't do. So, but heading down that path now we've reached the point where we can't even define what a man is or what a woman is. This whole thing that's suddenly just exploded on the scene, well, it's been there for a number of years, but the transgender ideology, and the ideology is that gender is fluid, you can choose your gender. This has all been very popular in academia for many years, but for most of us grew up our lives, we filled out a form. Most of the times you would see a form, it actually would say gender, and you would have two genders. You'd have male and female. It might say sex, but a lot of times it would say gender. Well, recently here in San Diego and also in Los Angeles County, ordinances have been passed that define girls and women, also including men and boys who happen to self-identify as being girls or women. And we have this thing here, this craziness here, where you have males, absolutely males, XY chromosome males, running around saying that they're women, yet there's nothing there to support that, any kind of evidence to support that whatsoever. You have men competing in women's athletics. You have men going into women's bathrooms. You have men wanting to be able to be in the locker rooms within the high schools and the junior highs. And this kind of craziness is something that even 5 years ago, I think people would have said, wow, this is crazy. And yet many people are just kind of rolling over there and saying, hey, this is okay. And it's not okay. It's a devastatingly destructive ideology. It's destructive of the people that are involved with it. That the fact of the matter is that the vast majority of these people that get involved with this transgenderism have other mental problems and issues that they think are going to be resolved by becoming a different person, becoming a different gender. So there's a guy who's having issues and problems and background environments. For whatever reason, he feels like he identifies more with a woman. So he tosses on a dress and maybe does some surgery that mutilates himself. And all of a sudden, now he's a woman. Well, they've been finding out that there's a growing number of these folks that are realizing they made a mistake, yet they have really done themselves permanent damage. But the thing I am most concerned about is that when you get to the kids and you start shoving this stuff down on kids, you know, if you tell little Bobby he might actually be Julie, and you tell little Julie she might actually be a Bobby, and you're telling this to kindergartners and first and second graders, guess what? You end up with confused kids. If you have Julie, who is maybe a sort of in the past would have been considered a tomboy, but you're saying, no, you're not just a tomboy who also happens to play a little bit rougher with the boys. You're really a boy stuck inside a girl's body. So what we have seen is we've seen a growing number of children confused about their gender. Well, that's not a surprise. When you have adults around them telling them this stuff and fanning this and every little spark, they're saying, oh, yes, that's so wonderful. You're showing your true gender. You're going to have some issues and problems there. So I do believe that's something that is a major, majorly destructive force in our society around the world today. And people really need to stand up and defend the common sense idea of two binary sex. That's male and female. And that's all we really need. That's all we've ever needed. Historically speaking, yes, there's been people that have suffered from gender dysphoria. But what has been found is that by late adolescence, 90%+ of those folks come out of that confusion and go on to live happy and productive lives in the sex that they were born into. And by the way, it's not the gender you're assigned at birth. It's the gender or the sex that is revealed at birth, unless you go on ultrasound, that's revealed something that was determined at conception. Your sex, your gender was determined at conception. When you're born, it just reveals something that is fait accompli. It's not a matter of being assigned there. So that's one of the major areas of deconstructionism there. And then the other area that I see that's the lie by omission is the refusal to acknowledge the role that Western civilization has played in advancing human rights throughout history. In fact, I'll make the statement. Western civilization is responsible for every major advance in human rights in the history of the world over the last 2,000 years. If you're talking about women's rights, that comes out of Western civilization. If you're talking about building up a middle class and, you know, allowing people to have class mobility, that comes out of Western civilization. So we are sitting here, we have this group of people in our country attacking and destroying Western civilization, but this is the civilization that has produced the environment upon which in which they're able to thrive and be given the right to do this. I don't know if they know what they're doing. I think some of them do, but maybe some of them don't. But they're effectively sort of like sitting on a branch and cutting off the part of the branch that's inside of them. And all of a sudden, you know, they cut the branch off and they fall down and hit the ground. So I really think that's another area of that you would call a deconstruction by not teaching the tremendous history of Western civilization and all the accomplishments it has to be proud of, then what you do is produce a group of people who don't see any value in Western civilization. They don't see a value in their country, and they're ready to maybe potentially throw it off and try to go down some path that ignores what the very fundamentals of what human nature is. And down the path they go there. So that's an area I'm very concerned about. It's happening throughout the world, but we see it here in the United States. And another part of that we've seen is an attack on males. Devastating. Young males are struggling in this country to a huge degree. Right now, 60% of college students are women. You may be surprised that no, the vast majority of the wealth in this country is now controlled by women. Now, of course, women's rights are now under attack now, too. So maybe the women's rights were feeling pretty good, but with this transgender stuff, you now have men, you know, going to be competing at the Title IX. Women athletics has made tremendous strides since Title IX came into effect, and yet now we're basically seeing a push to start to have men to compete in women's athletics. Well, if that happens, what you're going to see is you're going to see the top positions in women's athletics, except for maybe a few places like maybe gymnastics potentially, if they keep to the same form there, where they're going to be dominated by men pretending to be women. So this kind of stuff needs to be pushed back, and winning one election cycle is not going to push this back. We need to really start paying attention to what's happening into our elementary schools, our secondary schools, and also our colleges and universities. And one of the ideas that I think makes sense is we keep on pushing for diversity, you know, diversity of color of skin, diversity of other physiognomic characteristics, or diversity of where you've come from. Well, why not have something for universities that are receiving federal funding that they also have to demonstrate ideological diversity, i.e. they need to show that they're representative of the actual values and principles of the people that are out in society, not just a narrow band of the people from the left, which is dominating the universities. So that's another area that I think that we can take a look at. And in conclusion, what I want to do is talk about a definition I came up with for woke. And it's something I had thought about for a number of years, observing the woke folks, hearing them talk and seeing them write. This is the definition I came up with. A woke person is a unique combination of moral arrogance. They think they're morally superior. And in fact, they think that if they were back living in the Deep South, raised in a culture that did accept slavery, they think they would have been that one, you know, tenth of that 1%, they would have risen above that all. Well, maybe they would have been, but a little humility, they might say, hey, maybe if I'd been raised in that culture, I might not have been having the same kind of values I have today. Other characteristics you find in the woke individuals: ignorance of history. Either completely ignorant of history or only having a very select understanding of history. And this is necessary because if you do look at history, history is a situation where you do have people that are essentially good people, but who believe in bad things, and then you have an evolution. So you saw that with the founding fathers. Some of the founding fathers completely rejected slavery and were able to move past it. Other ones had problems with it, but due to a variety of circumstances, they were not able to throw it off. But they put in place principles and values that eventually and quite rapidly led to the elimination of slavery in this country. So that's something that I think that having a more holistic view of history is very important. And then there's a lack of self-awareness. This lack of self-awareness is that they seem to think that they are the only people that can really see what's right and wrong. And they're very self-referential, very self-involved. And the idea that they themselves potentially could be guilty of doing some of the same types of things never seems to strike them. So that's what I say. It's the lack of self-awareness, the moral arrogance, and a ignorance of history. So with that said, I just want to thank you for tuning in for this episode of World News Brief, and I'll look forward to joining back with you in about another 5 weeks or so. Good night.